streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
With Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot, you can get up to $2,300 off select kitchen packages from top brands like GE Profile. That means you can save on a new GE Profile Smart Quad Door Refrigerator that's full of convenient features like a dual-dispense autofill pitcher and an ice dispenser with up to 12.5 pounds capacity. Bring convenience to your kitchen with smart, innovative appliances from GE Profile. Right now, save up to $2,300 on select kitchen packages with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
Darren Armstrong talks Big Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness, from Fido to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for August 31st. I am your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today is Amon. How you doing, Amon?
Hello, everyone. I'm great. We had a pretty interesting day that happened yesterday. So I'm excited to be back and to talk about everything. And yeah, I'm feeling good.
Yes. Well, we are here, of course, to talk about everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 24 live feeds. It was day 56 in the house. And yeah, it really was seemingly just mostly a day of personal conversations, more so than strategic maneuvering. Still a lot of fallout from the Kyle business. And Kyle's going to have a lot of conversations throughout the day, some of them good. Some of them not good, some of them lasting about 10 seconds. So we will see how all of that fares here. So
it's so ubiquitous now that it just goes over my head.
So let's talk it through. Let's get straight into it. There's a lot of, I think, important conversations. We talked about it last night. The feed's cutting in and out, very frustrating, especially when dealing with a lot of these important conversations. But, you know, what are you going to do? I honestly, this is one of those days as well where, you know, if this is something that matters to you, that you care about, I'd recommend going and listening to these people actually speak these words themselves, because there's a lot of, like, again, important sort of emotional conversations going on. And, you know, it's impossible to capture everything in these summaries. So keep that in mind as well.
Yeah, it's always better to hear it directly from the person, because, like you said, you can get everything, all the little nuances in there. It's just a lot more humanistic than listening to someone else relay the message. Not to say that Taryn doesn't do a great job. You do. But it's just, you know, there's that extra touch is always better when you can hear it coming from them. Yeah.
Yeah. So we start the day. Kyle's obviously on the block. He is going home. Kyle talks to Brittany a bit. They kind of discuss the fact that, you know, that they've been put in this situation, that she feels like weird about it. Like she feels like she's hurt him. And like, that's a weird situation. They're going to talk later as well with Michael there. These conversations are kind of the least interesting of the Kyle conversations, though. So, you know, unless you're really interested, you can go check those out. But there's kind of more important stuff to get to.
Yeah, it's just a lot of like just guilt on her end, because she knows, they both realized, both her and Michael, I mean, they talked about it from jump before they even made the decision, that this was going to be questioned by a lot of people. And I think a lot of, I mean, it's manifesting itself in, oh, Kyle, I feel like I hurt you. And it's like, well, I don't think that's necessarily where you need to place your guilt. You really should be thinking more about like what this says about you and how you as a person move forward from this decision that you've made. I understand having the empathy for Kyle. I certainly understand on that end, but it's just a weird conversation that I don't think anyone's going to be able to help Brittany out with except Brittany. You better hypnotherapize yourself.
Yeah. Monty's going to have a conversation with Terrence. And Terrence is kind of explaining his conversation with Kyle the day before that we talked about. And they talk also about how they were inspired by the cookout to sort of be here and play the game. And Monty is saying a lot of interesting things here. He says, you know, this should be a reminder to America that this is what you need to deal with when you enter more diverse spaces. And you can either decide to take a step back, learn about people, come in with an open mind, build trust, and work with folks who have differences to create something more beautiful than what you'd have if you didn't. Or you can go back to your comfort zone, which is, people who look like me, and not trust the people who don't look like me that limit what you could be doing. So, you know, I think he's speaking directly to, I think, a lot of the discussion happening around this situation. And I think speaks really to the heart of it here. Like, yeah, this might make you feel uncomfortable. It might make you feel like, oh, what if that happened to me? What if I said the wrong thing and then I was the Kyle? But, you know, that's the price to pay. That is the price of admission to enter these spaces, that you will have to deal with people who think differently than you and have different perspectives. And you might make mistakes and that might be uncomfortable for you. And like that's progress. That's moving things forward. To retreat and say, I can now only interact with people who I feel safe with, just stunts everybody, and include you most of all.
Yeah, this man, I really felt like I was. It really felt like I was like right there with him this entire conversation, because I've had these thoughts and feelings for so long, and I've had these conversations with my family, my friends, friends that are Black, friends that are not Black. They've ramped up over the past 2 years, ever since 2020. It's just been on overdrive, these types of dialogues. And I don't know. Like, I mean, we watch live feeds all the time, and that's always been like the best part of the show. But something about this particular conversation, man, I don't think that I've really ever heard anybody really speak my mind on the show before. I mean, it's definitely come up in certain conversations, and I've related to so many of the Black players on this show. But man, this was very impactful for me, because it serves as a reminder that a lot of us are dealing with the same issues day in and day out. And he's absolutely right. This is what happens. He's highlighting exactly why the casting before BB23 was so archaic and stale and stunting. It's because it just allowed for the same patterns to continue to happen. And now that there are more people of color in that house to sort of help combat that and tip the scales a little bit, of course, this is where you go. This is the entire mission statement of the show, right? It's supposed to be a social experiment. It's supposed to be all of these people from different walks of life coming together and seeing what the hell happens. And we are seeing what the hell happens. And it's not always pretty. It can get nasty a lot of the time, but that's the show and that's life. So to just hear all of his struggles and everything, I was just, yeah, I was really touched by it. I really was.
Yeah. He also says, you know, look, if it had been true, like it was last season, I wouldn't have been mad at him, Monty says. But the reality is that there was nothing there to support that theory. So he is upset. And he goes on to say, and again, the feeds are cutting in and out of this conversation so much. But we do get this like impassioned speech by Monty, who is just at one point just like, I just want to be effing free. That's my thing. I just want to be free. It's like this chokehold that society has put on our minds that we have to think this way. And I would love to be able to walk around and not think that way because it restricts what I can do. And I hate being restricted. I hate being told what to do in a country where freedom is preached for everybody, not for one type of person or another type of person, but for everybody. So why am I in the freest country in the world, but mentally I'm a slave? I want to be free. I want to be whoever the hell I am. I want to be able to, you know, walk down the street. I want to be able to drive whatever car I want to drive. I want to be able to come into this house. And that's why I came into this house. Like, I'm going to wear my do-rag. I'm going to, you know, just be who I am. And I'm going to be like, just, I want to be able to be whoever the hell I am. I don't want to have to think about all of that. And like it, you can feel it. You can feel just how restrictive this situation, all of these things are for him. And again, just like, please, like, just listen to what he's saying here. Watch him say this because, you know, it's powerful stuff.
Yeah. I think what rings so true to me is, it's such a tough line to walk all the time, being Black in this country, let alone the game. It's such a tough line to walk because I understand exactly what he says when he's like, we are told to think a certain way because of the way that we look. Like, if you are a Black person, you are automatically told that you are going to experience racism in this country. This is the history of this country. This is the legacy that you have to inherit. These are the stereotypes that you have to battle against. This is who you are. And a lot of that is true. There is so much hate and anti-Blackness in this country that we see it in this game all the time. But sometimes as a Black person, you don't want to have to bear the weight of that. You just want to exist. You don't want to have to deal with it, but you can't, because if you go too far one way, you are forsaking the struggles of your ancestors. If you go too far this way, then it's like there's no progress to be made, because, and he mentions this specifically, he had to talk, I think it was his brother, down from distrusting white people from jump. And I've had those conversations with so many of the older folks in my family that are just, you know, Gen Xers, baby boomers that are just like, they're done. They prefer to just keep to their own. They're like, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the conversations. I'm tired of the looks. I'm tired of the stares. I'm tired of the struggles. In order to protect myself and live the best life that I can, I don't want to deal with it. But if you do that, then you can't go anywhere. So it's such a tough line to walk. Like, knowing that physically we are in the freest position that Black people have ever been in this country. So that becomes such a hard thing for non-Black people to grasp, because it's like, okay, well, we're not in the slavery days anymore. We're not in the civil rights days anymore. Okay, yeah, but all of that stuff manifests itself in today and now. Like, there is a legacy here that it's deeply rooted in, and you have to, it's still here. You have to deal with it. So just, yeah, knowing you're free, but also knowing that you're responsible for your own actions and you can't control what other people are going to think about you, knowing that you're not the stereotype, but also having to understand that not sometimes the stereotype isn't inherently problematic. Like you mentioned, his do-rag. Like, I just want to wear my fucking do-rag because, I'm sorry for cursing. I just want to wear my do-rag because that's how we take care of our hair. So why do I have to be afraid of someone having a perception of me? But at the same time, if they're going to have that perception of me, oh, well, it's like, you're always balancing, okay, perception versus what reality is, and what do I have the stamina? Do I have the mental stamina to deal with that today? Maybe I don't. Maybe I don't wear the do-rag, but I do want to wear the do-rag. It's just, oh my God, I felt like I was there. It's like, wanting the world to see you for you and knowing that it's possible for that to happen, but also knowing that there is so far that we still have to go in order for that to happen. And you're going to have to be the arbiter of that fight, even though you don't want to do that. And so when it comes to Big Brother, it's like, I feel like for Monty specifically, I feel like he probably came in thinking, okay, I want to support the other Black folks in this game. I'm so inspired by the cook-up, but at the same time, I just want to play for me. And I feel like he took things a little bit too far when it came to Taylor in the beginning. I feel like in the beginning, when everybody was dunking on Taylor, it was like his opportunity to be like, okay, well, this is horrible what's happening to this Black woman, but at the same time, maybe this can show that not all Black people are going to bunker down all the time. So maybe I have to enter in on this dog pile because that'll show the rest of these white people that I'm not good, just going to play based off of race. But then the reason that Taylor is experiencing all of that in the first place is because of how she looks. So it's like, oh, it's just like, how do you, oh my God. It's like, how do you deal with all of that all the time? It's so annoying. And all I can say is that I related to this entire conversation so much. It really, really touched me. And I hate that they kept cutting the feeds. I hate that kept happening. But I'm so glad that this is taking place now. I'm so glad that people are getting to listen to this and hear this because it's hard. It's very, very hard. And I feel like people just don't always recognize that. And then because you don't always have to, but it's hard. It's so debilitating. So yeah.
Yeah. And these conversations do continue through the day. But first, we have to also talk about another kind of hard conversation.
This episode is brought to you by PwC. When unprecedented times are all the time, it's time to start walking the talk. Leaders like you turn to PwC to see and stay ahead. Upskill your workforce, use intelligent automation, and transform big ideas into breakthrough reinvention. Explore the human-led, tech-powered solutions that help you reinvent. It's all part of the new equation. Learn more at pwc.com.
This episode is brought to you by Purina and their certified therapy dogs like Hanley. Say hi, Hanley! Hanley is one of 30 therapy dogs Purina has helped get certified to support kids struggling with their mental health. Purina employees are volunteering their time and family pets like Hanley to help make pet therapy more accessible to patients, students, and kids like me. Learn more about Purina's pet therapy program at purina.com/mentalhealth.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
First, Alyssa is talking with Brittany and basically gives the prelude to what is to come, that she said too many relationships with guys that have issues that she's tried to help them with. And she can't be responsible for teaching Kyle things that she learned as a child, that it cannot be. She does not have the mental space to raise a 29-year-old man to adulthood. And so she's going to have a conversation with Kyle, where, you know, they talk about the situation. He says, I'm just crying all the time. And she says, I know it's difficult. I hate seeing you like this. But I can't be responsible for raising a 29-year-old man. And he's like, I understand. It's okay. she's like, I really, you know, and this hurts. Like, I'm not okay. I'm not okay. But I thought you were going to be my person. And I feel like that's not the case. I feel like, you know, that many times throughout the house, like, you've let me down. You didn't bring me in when you could have. You've lied to me. And, you know, like, again, like, I can't be responsible for you. Like, I need to, you know, I need to draw the line here. So I don't think that we should be in a relationship when you leave the house.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I was like, have we seen this before? I was like, I'm not sure if we've ever seen like an actual, like, real breakup on the show. And then people, I tweeted that out, and some people, you know, were talking about, oh, there was a cat and Mickey, and, you know, there was something in BB5 and something else. I forget the other one that people kept mentioning, but I don't think we've ever really seen anything like this. Yeah. Like, I felt like it was, you know, this was there. This is just like 3 weeks ago. Alyssa is on the feeds once Kyle leaves the room talking about, I love him. I love him. Like, his parents, like, please, like, give me a chance. I'm going to take care of him. Like, we're going to have kids, yada, 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 yada. And now she's reneging on everything, saying, yeah, this is not the person that I want to have babies with. I just can't, you know, I can't hold your hand through this, that you're not the type of person that I thought you were going to be. You didn't tell me about this alliance. You've been avoiding me whenever you didn't want me to lie to me. You didn't even, why wasn't even considered to be a part of this alliance? It's over, boo-boo. It's over. But is it really over?
Yes. Yeah, I agree. This is definitely, you know, granted, I think one of the reasons we haven't seen something like this is that most relationships in the game are not high school relationships, and this one is. But yeah, I agree. I think this is definitely like, they were boyfriend and girlfriend. She was saying, I love you. She was thinking that she was going to marry him. And now she has like, seen a new side, which kind of, I think, illuminates the side that she's been trying to ignore. And she feels like at this point it has to be done. It's clear though, she doesn't want to do this and he doesn't want her to do this, but she feels like she has to, because, you know, this is the opportunity, right? This is like the opening that she has to cut this off, that she knows it should be cut off, right? And you can see too, like not to get into my like relationship analysis mode, where I'm going to speculate here, but I'm very much going to do that. Yeah. So you know, she knows that this is a bad thing for her. She knows, right? Like all the lying, even before that, he made her feel awful. She's on this roller coaster of highs and lows that people get caught in a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's a very bad cycle to get caught in because it's very difficult to break. And she knows that she doesn't want to be in it. She's been in it before. And when all this happens, she's really able to like take a step back and get some perspective, enough time and perspective to be able to go, you know what? I don't think this is good for me. I need to stop this. But that hurts, right? What she really wants is for him to change and be better. Mm-hmm. And then it would be okay. And it wouldn't have to hurt. And so even in this conversation, as she's kind of like trying to break things off, she's trying to give him openings of like, where was I in your story? Like, what is like, where are you? Like, I need to watch the season back. And then maybe after we watch everything back, maybe after you've improved and it's okay again, we can come back to this. You know, like I've been saying, I love you. I've been thinking I wanted to marry you. Like, how about you? And he, and you know, I think part of the thing is that like he is still not giving her much of that. Like, he doesn't want this to happen. But he is very much willing to let it go, which I think in some ways hurts even more, which then initiates more of a potential rebound. But in the moment here, she has broken up with him for granted. She said, I don't think that you should leave the game with us in a relationship. He hasn't left the game yet, so I think she's got a little bit of wiggle room there. But that's where things stand for now. She immediately goes into like, okay, so now that we're broken up, can you, Michael and Brittany are like up my butt about this whole like leftovers thing. What did I know? When did I know it? Can you just lie to them and be like, you didn't tell me? And he's like, oh, Alyssa, I'm not in the game anymore. I'm not going to lie. I'm done with the lies. No more lies. She's like, yeah, but you're not going to hurt my game, are you? He's like, oh, Alyssa.
He's just like so down and out. It's like he's like turning into an NPC, you know. It's just like not, he's not here for it anymore. I just feel like he just wants to blanket sort of like just like let things be where they may be. Yeah, everything you said about Alyssa, she's clearly, I mean, she's talked about her dating history in the past. We are seeing it once again, you know, like we're understanding why maybe she's made the decisions and she's had the hardships in her dating life that she had in the past, because, you know, it's hard to give up something when you already feel like you've put so much time and energy and love into it. I mean, it's hard for anybody, not just Alyssa, but a lot of people fall into this trap where, you know, things are not necessarily the greatest, but you still stay because you think there's a modicum of chance that you can change somebody, or at least help them change. And the Big Brother house is just not the arena for that. And even Kyle says as much, where he's like, you know, I understand this. I get you. But maybe afterwards, maybe when we don't have to deal with this game, maybe there's a chance for that to happen. And I feel like Alyssa might want it to be a little bit more instantaneous in more ways than one. But, yeah, just this whole conversation. I know I said at the beginning of this season that I don't necessarily have the same amount of vitriol for showmances that everyone else seems to have, but baby, my resolve has been tested, because this is crazy.
Yeah, she talked a lot about how she promised herself that she wouldn't date anyone ever again until it was the person she was going to marry, which seems ambitious to me. Personally,
very ambitious. Those girls that goes to college not to get a BS but to get an MRS. Okay, like, she is about it, baby. She wants the babies. She wants the ring. She wants the man. She wants the house. She wants it. And I'm not shaming her for it, because there are a lot of people like that. But she's on a mission. Okay.
Yeah, I feel like that mentality is definitely not going to help. No. I think in this whole situation. Back to the Kyle apology tour. He's going to talk to Taylor, and surprise, surprise, Taylor is amazing in this conversation. But basically, Kyle's going to apologize to Taylor a lot, and he's going to be saying a lot of the same things that he's been saying. So Taylor is basically saying, look, I understand why you were so defensive at first. Like, I get it. Like, nobody wants to be that person, but I really do appreciate that you have since opened up to it and sort of like admitted it, essentially. So I think what we've been able to gather is that there was an initial conversation where Kyle denied, sort of the same mentality we saw when he first found out from Alyssa, like, no, I didn't say that. It wasn't like that. Don't make it a race thing. And was trying to deny it. We'll get a little bit more into that when he talks to Monty. But after that initial session of denial, he then had the, I think, the living room conversation where he admitted and came clean and was just like, yes, you know what? It was based in race. And you know, I have to come to terms with that and admit it. And so she said, yeah, at first did not love the defensiveness, but I get it. I appreciate that, you know, it didn't last that long, which is pretty difficult. She says that, look, I was leftovers to the end. Like that's where I stood. You were definitely wrong about where my loyalties were. She also talks about how she, as a Black woman, doesn't feel like she gets the same amount of grace as others might. For instance, one thing that did bother her was when, Alyssa was, you know, making the mistakes that she was making during Taylor's HOH. Kyle's defense of Alyssa was like, hey, you know, maybe she's just a nice girl and, you know, it's like not a big deal. And like, that was kind of like a trigger point for Taylor, because, she feels like if she were in that position, that like she would not have received that, level of grace. And you don't even have to look very far, because that's exactly what happened earlier in the season, except Taylor wasn't even making really any of those mistakes. It was really like, not even just grace for the mistakes, but, so little grace that it's like the opposite of grace.
Yeah.
Ikarb.
Yeah. This was another, great conversation. Cause I feel like, I felt like, there was a lot of, there was a lot of emotion coming from Kyle, and I you could tell that obviously, Taylor was sympathetic and maybe even a little empathetic as well, for it. But once again, having to like tread that line between, you know, giving him too much of a pass, but also, you know, being resolute and being like, I understand, and there's been a time in my life where I could have made similar mistakes. Like, I can't even imagine some of the stuff that may have come out of my mouth about other races when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. So I know that it's possible to, we are all capable of being horrible. I think one thing that rings out to me in this conversation is just like how important it is in order for us to be able to have better conversations, because we said on the roundtable or on the recap back on Sunday, like this could have not swept under the rug, but this could have been a much like easier and more streamlined conversation. First, if they can keep cutting everything, but also like if we were able to have like a measured conversation about why what Kyle was doing was incorrect. You know what I mean? Like, we have to stop viewing the word racist or racism as strictly a pejorative, because people just, they automatically do not want to be associated with the word because they consider it an insult as opposed to an adjective. If I'm describing something that is racist, it doesn't necessarily mean that you are like this pitchfork KKK member. Like, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that you are doing something based off of race, and that is racist. It is a racist action. And if you don't want to do that, then you should stop doing it. You have to understand why it is like that first and then stop doing it. And I feel like Taylor really was like, tried to put that out on the line and say like, look, we've all done things. I'm glad that you are taking accountability for it. I'm glad that you are taking the steps to understand why it is, you know, why it is wrong. And then you're trying to move forward. And I feel like I was watching a lot of people's reactions to this conversation online. And so many were just like, no, these are all put on tears. These are all fake. These are all yada, yada, yada. I would say before you jump to that conclusion, you have to wait. I don't think that it is really possible for us to really know whether or not he is remorseful until there is more time for him to come out of this situation. I mean, he talked about having panic attacks. As someone who has experienced panic attacks, I know that they do not come without some form of like, well, some people just have anxiety disorders and they come, but I don't think that he's necessarily ever talked about having them before. So I feel like there is some level of remorse there when your body is entering that state of panic. Like, so before I'm ready to judge, you know, where he is now in his journey, he has to have the journey first. And I think that's really what the main point that Taylor was trying to get across, is that this is something that you're going to have to deal with on your own. You're going to have people that are going to come out here and be upset with you, and you're going to have to deal with that. I will defend you, which I was like, whoo, man, Taylor, once again. LaGrace. But yeah, it's you're going to have to walk this road a little bit alone. And you're just going to have to surround yourself with people that love you, but are also not going to tell you that what you did was okay, because then you're not going to learn. So sit with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she says, I'll support you outside of the house and in the hopes that you continue to learn and grow. He says that he doesn't deserve it. He really appreciates it. And he says that he hopes that his story can help people learn as well. That like, this can hopefully serve as an example of, he said that when he was talking to Alyssa, he was like, am I an asshole? And she was like, no, you're just an idiot. And he was like, that's kind of what I'm feeling right now. And I hope that that's the truth, right? Because an idiot can learn, an asshole is just an asshole. He's hoping that he can serve as an example of an idiot that was able to learn and be better in the future. And she recommends some books and podcasts, or she will recommend some books and podcasts for him to help learn, because it's not her job.
Yeah. It's not your job if you don't want it to be. I think that's another like distincting thing right there. It's like, there are so many Black fans of the show that are there are some that are just all the way to the right. They're like, I am done with this. Like, if you don't know any better, then screw you. Like, I'm done. We're done. We're done. And then there are some Black folk that are like, you know what? Well, you know, I'm down to have a conversation. Maybe I can share a little bit of knowledge. And then there are some that maybe go a little bit too far and hold everybody's hand through everything. I would just say, look, if somebody has it in their heart to have these conversations and be a bit of a mentor, as it were, then let them do that. Like, I don't think that there is any harm, as long as they are not excusing behavior. I don't think that there is any harm in allowing someone that has that mental stamina to do that. Because like I said, everything is a balancing act. There has to be some level of, there has to be some level of dialogue in order for there to be change. Because if people don't understand why what they're doing is wrong in the first place, then they're kind of screwed. So, and yes, a lot of that means that the burden does have to be placed on white people having other conversations with white people that are behaving badly. Because that, when someone that looks like you is telling you something, it's like, okay, then you know, unfortunately, that's how we operate as human beings. We are more receptive to that information as opposed to the other person that is like, you are behaving badly. And I'm like, oh no, I'm not. Like, I'm good. Like, you don't know what you're talking about. It's like, no, I'm telling you, you're behaving badly. And then you look over to your mom and your mom is like, yeah, what are you doing, bro? And it's like, oh, okay. So now I don't know why we behave that way, but we do. So Taylor's saying like, look, I will be a friend, I will not be a mentor, I think was a very nice way to put all of that.
Yes. So Taylor, of course, does a great job here. Kyle's also going to talk to Monty. And this was an even more emotional conversation. Kyle apologizes to Monty for, you know, what he did. He says, you know, for you, it's another level. It's on another level with you because we lived the same game, you know. And he starts crying. And he's like, I'm so sorry. Like, I saw when I was being defensive in the have not room, I saw you look at me with disgust and deservedly so. And I just felt lower than human. And I still do. And Monty starts crying. And he says, I really regret that I didn't take this opportunity to learn and grow, before. And you didn't do anything against me. And I'm so sorry for what I said in the have not room, because it came from a place of defensiveness. And I've spent the last 50 days in the wrong headspace. And I don't want to spend my last two in that same place. And Monty is still crying. And Monty is going to go on to, and Kyle sort of like explains, you know, he says, if it's okay, I want to tell you about my upbringing. And that he grew up in a place of privilege and, you know, all of that. Monty explains his own story of, you know, going to what he called a prestigious high school that was, you know, predominantly white. He had a lot of bad experiences there. he talks about his brother. He's been talking about his brother all day, who had a lot of bad experiences in the Coast Guard on the ship that he was on. And he's like, you know, if for me, like I can sort of, you know, I can take what you did, but like, this is the sort of thing, like this is going to be hard to explain to my brother, you know, like who has had even more of these experiences than I have. And I love my brother so much. And trying to explain that to Kyle says, you know, I never once thought that trying to recreate the cookout was a good idea or a necessary idea. He said, I really felt like I could relate to you, Kyle, that we were, you know, both came from sales and that we could speak the same language and that we both were looking at this game in a rational way. And for that bond to degrade because of my race really hurts, you know, and the truth is that a lot of people feel the way you do. And I am the one that feels the repercussions of that. And he says, and the thing is, I can see how you could come to think those things, but it was the follow through that hurt the most. He says, I don't dislike you. I dislike your thought process. And when you said in the living room that your thoughts were based on race and you admitted to it, I was like, okay, thank you. And so, you know, again, just like Monty clearly being able to express a lot of what we've been trying to express about why this is such a hurtful thing for Kyle to have done.
Mm-hmm. I was having a conversation yesterday with a friend of mine. We were talking about how Big Brother 24 is such a compliment to Big Brother 23. I think he even described it as like how they've, like, these past two casts have sort of like written a textbook on like how to deal with this. Like, all of this is an unfinished and uncompleted textbook, mind you, or incomplete textbook. But I just feel like in order to understand Big Brother 24, you have to watch Big Brother 23 first. Because, and I kind of made this point on the Sunday recap, it's sort of like Big Brother 23 was step one. It's like, okay, let's make sure that we have one of us on the board. Now Big Brother 24 is like, okay, how do we deal with the repercussions of that? How can we move forward now in the Big Brother house and still like combat like these perceptions after what we have done? Because I feel like there is, like, people have to make that distinction that Monty and Kyle's relationship broke down on the basis of race, not necessarily because Kyle is hating Black people, but more so assuming that there's no possible way that a Black person is going to be able to work with a white person because they will never have loyalty in the same way that Black people have loyalty to one another. And I think that is just like such a small and narrow-minded view of how the cookout is received. I think a lot of fans feel the same way that Kyle does. And so on one front, I am so happy that Kyle is there so that these fans can see this is what happens when you have that line of thinking. Now look at him. He's leaving because of that problematic line of thinking. You cannot fight fire with fire with fire. Like, the whole point, as I said before, of the cookout was to make sure that just one of us was on the board because of what has happened in history. To nip that in the bud is just pressing repeat. It doesn't make any sense. And I think Kyle is coming to that realization now. At least I honestly hope so.
Yeah. And I think that, in the same way that it's like, it's impossible to know right now exactly where Kyle will go. He asks for advice of Monty, like, do you have any advice for me? And I essentially, Monty says, yeah, just dedicate time and energy to help educate people about this situation once you get out. Like, that's how to, like, actually make amends, is get out of this house and speak to all of the people who are probably currently defending you and thinking the same way as you, and try to help educate them on why and how you've realized that it was wrong. That's how to move forward from this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I agree.
That's all you really can do. I mean, you have to make sure that you are focused on. I'm sorry if you guys hear banging. I have some work being done in the house and they are being so loud. you have to be less concerned about how people are going to view. I mean, obviously you need to be somewhat concerned about how people are viewing you, but you have to make sure that that change is coming from within. Like, don't apologize until you mean it. You know what I mean? Like, don't, you have to know something has to shift here before you can really start doing the work outwardly. Because if you just go outside and start following a script, I think a lot of people are going to be able to see through that eventually. And you're not doing yourself any favors because you're just going to fall back into the same pattern eventually. So, yeah, I mean, all we can really do is hope with time that he sees it. That's all we can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So,
I'm just going to mute.
With over 2,300 hotels across the U.S. and Canada, Best Western is perfect for our annual spring hiking trip. It feels a little like okay, back to the hotel. What a great day. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
So Kyle is going to talk to Turner as well. They talk about the situation. Turner talks a lot about his friendship with Kyle and Alyssa. They mean a lot to him. And Turner also spends a lot of time on how he doesn't like the Michael and Brittany of it all. That he feels like the timing of it was suspicious for him. And he doesn't like that angle. That is an angle that is going to be continue to be talked about throughout the day as well. But that's, you know, again, sort of like where Turner stands in all of this. Still would like for Kyle to stay. Still kind of anti Michael and Brittany.
Sorry, I just saw somebody comment. What comp are they building him on? Screw y'all. Yeah, it's I saw a Reddit post the other day because I've really just been interested in this. I love Big Brother. Oh my God. I've just been really interested in how people are like responding to everything that's been happening this week. And I saw someone post on Reddit. I wish I could find it before I kind of butcher whatever they were going to say, but they came to sort of Michael and Brittany's defense. They basically made the points that, well, I think a lot of people are giving just a little bit, putting too much pressure on Michael and Brittany because you want them to react perfectly in the perfect situation, in the perfect response, yada, 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 when really a lot of us aren't necessarily sure if we would behave in the same way. I think what they did was they took the information, they had a conversation about it, they realized that it was problematic, they told Kyle that it was problematic, they decided that they weren't going to say anything because what's the point of like blowing this up if it doesn't need to be a thing? And then they waited until it actually became more of a thing whenever this alliance that Kyle seemingly created actually seemed like it was going to do some damage, and then they decided that they were going to release the information once it did became a little bit more relevant to the game, and they had the safety to do so without being, you know, claimed that they were being liars or whatever. Yes and no. Like, I feel like, yes, there was some level of care that Michael and Brittany did in, you know, releasing this conversation, but I also think that there was no waiting until it was going to affect the game. It had already affected the game at that point. It affected the two of them. And they weren't a part of this conversation, but Kyle, you know, wanted Terrence to be in this after party alliance to cover for the fact that, you know, no one could say, oh, well, I was just doing this because people of color, because look, Terrence is over here. And then they waited specifically until they won the veto and knew that they weren't going to go anywhere and knew that they needed Kyle to go on the block. If Kyle had no chance of ever going on the block, then I would get some more credence to this argument that they were trying to be careful with the information and not blow it up to a point to ruin his life or whatever, or have any blowback on him unnecessarily. But no, they wanted him out, and that's how they got him out. So the ick remains 100% because you used it as strategy, and they know that they did, and they're just going to have to deal with whatever flack that they get whenever they get out.
Yeah. And I'm sure that they will, you know, I think they already understand that. And I'm sure that they are going to address mm-hmm. it when they do get out. So Brittany and Michael are going to have a conversation, and she lets him know. Now, remember that Monty has been talking to Taylor about taking a shot at Michael, and Taylor has talked to Brittany about that. So Brittany is going to basically let Michael know, like, look, Taylor and I are the only people in this house that are not going to take a shot at you. And Michael's like, welp, what are you going to do? And so they basically wonder how they proceed. There's a long conversation they have about who should be the target. Should they give Turner a pass for doing the quote unquote right thing this week? You know, is Monty somebody that they should target? Should they just go after Terrence? And from Michael's end, I'm getting the sense that he wants to target Turner. I mean, he first of all says, like, straight up that he wants to target Turner, and that he would prefer to target Turner over Monty. He feels like Turner is a bigger competition threat to him than Monty is. And he's basically just kind of looking for a reason to renege on the deal that he made with Turner. Because again, there's this notion that, like, they don't want to punish Turner for doing the right thing, so to speak, by nominating Kyle, which, you know, how right was it? Like, he still wants Kyle to stay. It's not, you know.
How many brownie points can we really, how many brownie points are we willing to give out for this? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like this is like turning into like a weird, like, well, okay, well, that's score one for you because you did this. And I guess score one for me because I did this. And so we'll just all, you know, ring around the rosy for a couple more days and then we'll see what happens afterwards until the next big socially forward thing happens. Then we'll just deliver brownie points again. It's like, girl, Michael, you in danger. Pretty much everyone is coming after you. Anybody's almost a good target for you, with the exception of the people that you can beat. Okay, so, you know, if you want to prolong this conversation about, like, this whole Kyle thing by extending more grace to people for going along with this plan, then so be it, if that's the game that you want to play. But I feel like you're just only making it even more icky by all of this conversation. If I were Turner, I of course it'd be like, well, damn, like, I had to give up an ally because of this BS, but I'm still going to fight to stay here. And if I understand that I'm probably still going to be a target after this and just have to deal with it, just go for the veto, boo-boo. You know, that's just, it kind of is what it is at this point.
Yeah. They also agree that Michael will throw the HOH to Brittany if possible. That would be the ideal scenario for the final seven. So Monty's going to have a conversation with Taylor, and they're talking about the situation with Kyle and everything, and they're giving their thoughts on it. And it's not too different from what they've already said, you know, to Kyle, to each other before. It seems as though the goal of this conversation for Monty is to continue to progress his anti-Michael and Brittany sort of like campaign strategically, back in game mode. And he brings up, I say strategically, but I think, you know, not to discount the points that he's making on a personal level as well. I don't know where one begins and the other one ends at this time personally.
That's the crunchiness that is so interesting.
Yeah. So he brings up, you know, hey, I did feel a little weird about Michael not using the veto on you, you know, after everything that happened, Taylor. Didn't that feel weird to you too, Taylor? And he really gets like shut down in this one, because she's like, well, no, because look, I didn't exactly tell him to not use it, but I did have a conversation with him about how I don't want this storyline to be that I was saved by white people, and like, that's why I got through this. And that it wasn't the house making a decision on that. It was that I was saved by, you know, by Michael or whatever. And I also did mention that I wanted to give a speech on Thursday. I wanted to be able to sort of like have the final say to America as this is happening. I didn't want it to be Brittany and Kyle giving the final punctuation on this whole story here at the end of the week. So basically implying like, yeah, not only was I okay with it, but I kind of wanted it to be this way. And so Monty is like, oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. It's like even despite all of the personal game information, yeah, she just didn't, like, I mean, but Monty still has a point though, because even outside of the personal game information, it still does speak to how Michael and Brittany are more close than they are ever going to be with you. You are still going to be the third wheel. So while Taylor still is going to survive this week, it is still something that you have to think about. It's like, how much longer do you want to be in bed with the two of them?
Mm-hmm. Well, he tries another route here. He says, I didn't love the timing of it. I did feel like it was suspicious timing. I didn't love that aspect either. But Taylor pretty much responds with like, I get it. You know, she says, Michael and Brittany, they're not as well tuned to these things as we are. Like we experience them all the time. We are much faster to realize what they are. You know, Michael and Brittany probably haven't experienced these things nearly as much as we have. It's going to take them a little bit longer to recognize it and to be willing to say something about it until they're like 100% sure. And Monty does push back a little bit on this, and I think rightfully so, because that's not exactly what the situation was. They did have all week last week to say something. They said that it wasn't until after the veto on Taylor's HOH that they were 100% sure. And I think there's maybe an argument to be made that that is at least a little bit true. But then once they found out at that point, holding on to it for so long, waiting until after the veto this week, does feel like they were holding it for a specific time. Which
Michael lawyered the situation.
Yeah.
It's like how we watch people, lawyers, you know, act a little shady. They withhold evidence that could easily have like done some stuff and like really brought to light some evils in society, but they're like, I have to win the case, so let me just wait and bury it a little bit and then release it at the right time. It's like he really just, it's like, all right. So yeah, everything I said before, everything Monty is saying, it's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Monty, though, not a huge fan of this reaction. He's going to talk with Turner, basically saying that he's not liking Taylor's response to this. He doesn't like that she's defending Michael and Brittany. And he kind of feels like it's weird the way that she seems so fine with everything, that she doesn't seem like she's more impacted by this. This is like, Monty, come on. Like, let this woman be.
Yeah. Yeah. Let it go. And let's not forget that you are still playing catch up with Taylor. Okay. Like Taylor still has every reason to not be all buddy buddy with you. Okay. Like it's not, you guys got off on a shifty first start. The first impressions, you failed. Sorry. Like Michael and Brittany, they didn't. They may be screwing up along the way, but at that point, that's family. You know what I mean? It's like, She has far more patience with them because they've been with her longer than you have. So look at that. Look at the black people not working together. Wow, Kyle. Wow.
That's kind of where Monty stands. Now, I saw a lot of people like worried, like, uh-oh. Is he going to vote her out? He's not going to vote her out.
No.
He's not going to vote her out. I'm putting it down. I'm putting the money down. He's not voting her out. But I think that he's just trying to get her to turn on Michael and Brittany, and he's frustrated that it's not working. That's my own personal thought process here.
I do think that I do agree with what you just said, and that's like, oh my god, can you just let her be? I do think that he still should continue to, like, you know, offer things, like make it a little bit more enticing and be like, girl, like, Michael, you know, you're never gonna beat him, like, you know, you, come on, like. And it's not like she's completely unreceptive to the idea of, like, you know, someone taking the shot. You just have to, you know, you just got to be a little bit more, you have to realize where you are in your relationship with her before you start trying to, you know, engage in those conversations, because you have to catch up. So,
yeah. And I'm more just mean just like let her react to this however she wants to. Like, if she doesn't want to, like, if she's not having some big reaction, like, that's okay. Like, not everybody shows emotion in the same way. You don't know what she's going through. You know,
let her be, let her live.
Monty is also going to talk with Kyle a bit later, and talks to Kyle about feeling suspicious about the timing of the information drop. He talks about how he wants Michael out. Kyle's going to fill Monty in on a few more things about Michael, that Michael told him that the reason he put him outside was to protect Alyssa, stuff like that. So Monty's getting a little bit more ammunition to use here, if he can. But that's basically where things stand right now. Michael knows that Monty and Turner are coming for him, and he's, you know, kind of like planning to, I'm pretty sure, just go straight at Turner at this point. And Monty is still trying to, you know, gather the troops to go against Michael, and in particular trying to flip Taylor. If he's able to flip Taylor to actually gun for Michael next week, then that's a big win for him. If she protects Michael, then it's going to be more difficult. I've seen a little bit of this discussion, but, like, personally, I think that no, it doesn't make sense for Taylor to target Michael next week. Because make Monty or somebody else do it. Like Michael's never going to, like, Michael has four targets ahead of Taylor right now. So it is not like something that Taylor needs to go out of her way to do. In my opinion, I think that she benefits from Michael staying at least one more round, or honestly, the thing she benefits from the most is, like, you know, somebody like Alyssa or Terrence winning and taking Michael out for her. And then, you know, then she can sort of, like, grab onto Brittany, grab onto Monty, and then honestly take Monty out at some point. But that's a whole other thing. But Monty's trying is the point.
Yeah, it's really going to come down to these comps. I've been, I don't know. I just have a really hard time seeing. I know everyone's been, like, you know, saying, like, Michael is, he's just been a tank in so many of these comps. I'm just like, is he really going to win out from Final Seven? Like, that's a lot of comps to have to win. Like, I'm just like, in the pressure of having to do it over and over and over again, I'm like, damn, like, I kind of want to see it happen just for, like, the prestige of it all. But I'm like, that's a lot. So I just, he's in danger. But he has no choice. He has to win every week or he is gone. So, oof, good luck.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of what's happening strategically, but there's more to update on the Kylissa front.
Oh, God.
Because, look, we've been talking about it since before it started. This is a high school relationship. The weird thing about high school relationships is that after you break up with somebody in high school, you go back to school the next day, and there they are, still there. You can't get away from them. And so oftentimes you'll find in high school relationships, oh, they got back together? What? Oh, this is not good. The thing about breaking up with somebody, especially if you're in a high school mindset, is that it hurts. It hurts, right? And pain is the biggest motivator for bad decisions. It hurts. They're both hurting. They see each other. There's an easy way to stop the hurting, right? You just act like everything's okay and you don't have to hurt for a little while. And so that's what's happening. That's happening right after the breakup conversation in the first place. They get back to a place where they're like, ah, now we can just be friends and like still comfort each other and not have to feel the pain. But then they separate and they start feeling the pain. So they started hanging out more again. And when they hang out, they don't feel the pain anymore. So it's feeling okay. You know where this leads. Kyle's lying in bed and she's going to be like, ah,
no,
I really want to touch you right now.
No.
And he's like, ah, probably shouldn't. Right. But you could. And she's like, no, probably shouldn't.
No.
But I could. And here we go. They are going to find comfort in each other's arms for a good 10 to 20 seconds.
And the fact that she said, oh my God, she was like, because they were about to get under the covers and he was like, it's going to get real hot in like 20 seconds under here. And she was like, well, 20 seconds is all you'll need. I was like, oh. And now he's like all upset about like, oh my God, do you think America's going to know? Yes. Like Alyssa is like all like, she's giving me like Kim Kardashian sex tape energy. She's like, at least we're going to be famous, boo. Like, of course America knows. And she was like, do you mind if I like tell like the rest of the house, you know, once you're gone that we've been, you know, banging? And he's like, I mean, I would prefer not, because then they're going to want to know how.
In the meantime, Turner is telling them all about it because he's like, oh, they're broken up. And she had overheard Taylor talking about how none of the condoms had been used.
I missed.
Oh, no. You didn't.
Ooh, Alyssa.
I believe, not that it's any of our business, but I do believe she is on birth control.
Okay. Like, look, hey, this country, I'm just saying. And is she from Florida? Ooh. Mm.
So,
what a mess. What a, these two are just a mess. Like, honestly, send Alyssa to jury next, because I just need all the jury segments with the two of them. Like, send her right after him.
Yeah, honestly, like this is like the main piece of advice I give anybody that's like in a breakup situation, is just like, you need to take some space, because like, it's difficult. It's difficult if it's like, if you're right there in proximity, like this sort of thing honestly is bound to happen. You know, here we are. We'll see how much like regret there is in the morning, if they're going to have to now have the conversation again. Like, just because that happened doesn't mean that we're still not going to be broken up when you leave. We'll see. We'll see where this continues to go. I mean, it's just a mess of drama here.
I feel like she will. I think that they will hover around each other for like maybe a few months and then it'll fizzle out. I think that's what I see happening.
Mm. So that's going on now. Taylor did give us another little, she, you know, Taylor, a very empathetic person, a very caring person. She even cares about me.
That podcast, Rob has a podcast that covers the feeds every day. Well, guys,
she knows exactly how I feel.
Weren't they also ranking Big Brother? What were they doing? They were because I caught all of this. Like, I read through all of this, these parts, because I was long asleep. But didn't they like they? Oh, it was the alignment charts. They like Big Brother seasons on the alignment charts and everything, and even talked about Big Brother Twitter and RHAP and everything. Like, yeah, they know.
Yeah,
they know.
So that's pretty much what we had here for the day. Amon, anything else that you wanted to bring up?
There was one thing, but I I forget. It was something to do with the Kyle and Taylor conversation. I didn't get a chance to say what was. Oh, I loved that she got a chance to explain a little bit more in depth her reasoning behind the whole Jasmine thing, where she was like, I understand. Like, she admits why she can understand why Kyle would get that conclusion based off of her saying, oh, I would never put a Black woman on the block. She was like, but that doesn't mean that I did not want her out. That does not mean that I would not vote her out. In fact, I voted her out. So like, we weren't ever really working together. It's just for the simple fact of the matter that I know what it is like for Black women in this house. I did not want to be the person to put her up, even though she put me up. I just didn't want to do it, but I had no problem sending her home. And I feel like a lot of people in the fandom don't quite understand that either. But I think it just goes to show, it's like, while we can be like supportive of one another, that doesn't necessarily mean I am going to always, you know, want to work with you. It's a whole nuanced, very complicated emotion to have. And I'm just glad that she got a chance to sort of explain it a bit further.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think like the thing that I think was clear to a lot of people is that like, if it had just been Jasmine and the leftovers left, she would have targeted Jasmine. It was like that there was an option. There were other people that she could put up that led her in that direction. She certainly was perfectly fine.
There were other targets to have that we all could have agreed upon. So I was just like, I'm not going to put the Black girl up because I just don't want to do it. But if y'all want to do it, go ahead.
All right. Well, that's what we have for you today here on the live feed update. Of course, I'll be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother 24 live feeds. And tonight, I'll be live on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, watching tonight's episode of Big Brother 24. This is the one. This is where everything drops. First with Michael's veto win, and then the big drop. I have to imagine we're getting some kind of cliffhanger because there's a lot to get through. And then there's a lot to get through on Thursday, too.
Is there a two-hour episode? Why did I read that there was a two-hour episode coming
next week?
Next week. Okay. Okay. Yeah. So. Yeah, what are they going to do?
We'll see.
You're right. It's probably going to be a bit of a cliffhanger, and then they're going to like try to explain all of it through the Thursday episode. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. So, you know, it'll be interesting. Tune in tonight to see what's going on. I'll be reacting live on Twitch. I'll, of course, also be back tomorrow morning, and there'll be a podcast to recap everything that happens tonight on the episode, as well as tomorrow night. So tune in for all of that. I'll also be dropping a new Among Us video today. So make sure you're tuned in for that over on the YouTube channel. I'm not sure which one it is, to be honest. I haven't had time to look. But probably. I mean, you're in a lot of these at this point. So check that out. Of course, you can also check out the House of the Dragon post-show recaps book club podcast. Some good stuff going on over there. And you can find all of this over on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. Amon, where can people find you?
You can find me everywhere at Amon Adwin. Also playing, you know, Goose Goose Duck from time to time on Twitch and all that jazz. Did I do something this past week? Nope, that's it. Yeah.
All right, then. Thank you all so much for joining us here today. And I will see all of you next time.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere. This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.